I am taking advantage of Old Fashioned Day. I don't particularly enjoy wearing ties, so I didn't really have to be persuaded too much to be able to preach without a tie. That's a joy. Have you ever seen preachers loosen their tie and it's about half hanging off while they're preaching? That means it's really not comfortable to wear a tie while you're preaching. But that's our culture. I really haven't had that privilege too much. I'm in the process of starting a new church in North Austin, Texas. And I told my church I was considering starting a new doctrine that we shouldn't wear ties to church. Since I was starting from scratch, maybe I could get away with it. But I haven't quite done that yet. I have had an opportunity to preach in the country of Yugoslavia a few years back. And some of their old-timers have a doctrine against wearing ties. They feel like it's for show, for ornamentation, too worldly. Shouldn't wear it. So, of course, not to offend them, I didn't wear my tie all the time I preached there. Amen. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to take advantage of Old Fashioned Day in another way, because I want to teach on a subject that maybe everybody knows all about, but I never seem to hear much teaching on it. So maybe we need to go back a few years. They tell me some of the preachers that have been around for a while, and some of those who are raised in Pentecost with preachers' fathers, that they go back to they know the first generation of the apostolic movement. They tell me that doctrine used to be the staple theme of much preaching. Even when you had a revival or a tent meeting, and we typically expect a revival just to deal with, well, sometimes we think it deals with maybe an emotional pull or some unusual twist on Scripture that will excite the people's attention, but they said for revivals they'd preach on oneness, on the new birth, on all kinds of subjects that sometimes we think are too much doctrine. Well, there's another subject that I think is maybe doctrinal or typically Pentecostal or traditionally Pentecostal that we all know about and we all pay heed to and we all strive for, and even in our day the charismatic movement has tried to draw a lot of attention to, although sometimes not in a very scriptural way, it seems to me, and that's the gifts of the Spirit. When's the last time you heard a Bible lesson on the gifts of the Spirit? Well, in most cases, people I've asked that question to say years or never. So at the risk of seeming to give to you something you already know that won't be exciting to you, I'm going to give you a Bible lesson on the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I hope this will set the tone for what we have to say today. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And here in this verse, we find both of the emphases which I want to bring forth today. To desire eagerly the best gifts. And yet, he says, there's something more excellent. If you read the whole context of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you find out what he's talking about. He's certainly not saying, ignore the gifts, I've thought of something better. But you read in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, and how often that's referred to. I've used it in weddings, you use it in all kind of settings, and I think it's appropriate. But we must not lose sight of where it was placed originally, right in between two chapters on the spiritual gifts. And the point is very clear, we need spiritual gifts in our midst. But more than spiritual gifts, we need spiritual gifts that are exercised in love. And that, I believe, is what he meant by the more excellent way. Not saying, well, let's discard the spiritual gifts, but he says the better way, rather than just seeking spiritual gifts, the better way is to seek to exercise the spiritual gifts in love. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, exercising gifts in love. Exercising gifts in love. Now, let's establish the availability of the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm particularly referring to the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. 9 and 10. However, just let me say, I think that list is illustrative, or it gives examples. I'm not necessarily sure that it's an exclusive list. I'm not sure you can just pigeonhole every move of God's Spirit into one of those categories. And I'm not necessarily sure that we're supposed to. let me just kind of share some of my idea or philosophy about the exercise of spiritual gifts, and you can judge for yourselves whether it seems to be scriptural or whether it corresponds with your experience. But rather than going around saying, well, I have this gift and I have that gift and I have the other gift, I think what the Lord wants us to do and what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell us to do is to seek a move of God's Spirit. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Open your heart to the Spirit. Let God use you as the occasion arises. And whether it's precisely fits somebody's definition of the word of wisdom or the discerning of spirits or this, that, and the other, it's not really the issue. I think for the purposes of study and increasing our awareness, it's good to sit down and give a definition so that we can be more attuned to the Spirit. But I don't think we have to pigeonhole God's work. And rather than saying, I want this gift or I want that gift or I've got this gift and I've got that gift, I think if we would let God use us, whatever the situation demands, He can use us. And maybe it's the word of wisdom, or maybe it's the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom put together, or maybe it's somebody's definition of word of wisdom and somebody else's definition of word of knowledge, but as long as it gets the job done, that's what's important. I was speaking on the spiritual gifts one at a Bible college once, and a young man came to me. His father had an outstanding, well-known spiritual ministry, and he shared some of his frustration. He says, I just don't seem to have the same kind of ministry as my father, and I feel so inadequate and so helpless. I said, don't worry about trying to find a certain type of gift or trying to imitate a certain type of style. I said, give yourself to God. You feel the call of God upon you. You feel the anointing of God. Well, pray and preach. Make yourself available. Say, God, use me in whatever capacity you can. I think, really, when he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, there's a lot of debate over which gifts are the best. I heard somebody say a long time ago, and I don't even remember who it was, but I think it's probably the most accurate explanation. The best gifts are the gifts that are needed at a particular time.